All right, if you would, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And we are observing the Lord's Supper. This is the first time we've done it here as Genesis Church. And I realize some of you today, you may be like me when I first started going to church. I mean, some of you are new to me, and I'm new to you, and some of you have known me for a couple of years already. But, you know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't one of these guys that went to, you know, vacation Bible school, church camp. You know, we didn't pray before we eat. You know, we didn't do family devotions. You know, my home was full of alcohol, beer, partying, and police officers. So that kind of gives you a feedback there on that. But so when my mom got saved and she started dragging me to church, I mean, literally dragging me to church, and she got saved late, you know, obviously later in life. And we would sit on the back row. No offense to anybody sitting on the back row. And Ray. And so, yeah. So anyway, we would go there, and I'd sit on the back row. But when we'd walk into the church, and it's called Victory Baptist Church, and it was a country church, and some good folks who just loved Jesus, you know, and simple people. And they ran about 40, 50 people, you know, kind of a thing. And we'd go and we would sit on the back row, and whenever I'd walk in the door and I would see the Lord's Supper table stuff set up, you know, and back then it was, you know, had the white thing over it, you know, or sometimes it didn't have the tablecloth white thing over it, and you could see the silver plates and stuff, and I would look at it, and my first thought was, oh, it's going to be long today. You know, we're not going to get out on time, you know. And there was a sense of dread. I mean, now that was true before I became a believer. Even after I became a believer, you know, I didn't quite understand the Lord's Supper. I mean, I just didn't get it. I mean, I was a spiritual infant, you know, and just didn't know. And I'd walk in, and you know, I knew a little bit about the Lord's Supper, but I'd walk in and I would see it all set up, and I would just go, oh man, it's gonna be long today, you know. And I had my fire insurance, you know, Jesus had saved me, but I just hadn't got into that growth mode yet and loving Jesus. But now that may be you today. I don't know. But hopefully today's lesson will help move you a little further away from that dread and dreary of the Lord's Supper, if that's you. But some of you may be more in the category of you come to the Lord's Supper and it's like a religious duty, meaning that you've been a believer for a long time, you know, and you've done the Lord's Supper so many times, you kind of do it without even thinking about it. I mean, you hear a sermon about it, and then whether it's the plates passed to you or whether you come up to the front like we'll do today, and I'll explain that in a moment. But, you know, you just kind of go through the motions, and there's really no thought, there's no emotion, there's no really focus about what is happening and what the elements represent. And it's just something you do. You just check it off. You know, I go to church, do the Lord's Supper. Okay, I have my devotion. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to mow the yard, do the dishes. You know, it's just part of the list. And it's just kind of a duty. And hopefully that's not where you are. But if that is where you are, you know, hopefully today's lesson will move you a little further away from that. Now, some of you are here today, and you've come to the point where whenever the Lord's Supper is observed, it's a time of worship for you. I mean, you think about the juice and the blood of Jesus and how that represents the blood and all of what that means. And you take the bread and you hold that, and it reminds you of the body of Christ and how he was, how he sacrificed his body upon the cross and how it was beaten and nailed and the thorns on his head and his beard was plugged and all that kind of stuff. You relive the moment, and it is a time of thankfulness and a time of just worship and exaltation, and you just kind of get overwhelmed by the thing. Hopefully that's where you are, and that's where we all need to be, and hopefully today's lesson will help you stay there. You know, and you just grow deeper into that aspect of where the Lord's Supper is an act of worship. Now, with that said, what I want to do for the next few moments, I want to share with you some things about what the Lord's Supper is really all about, and what, how do we respond to this thing? Well, here we go. Number one, when you take the Lord's Supper, you are to look around and restore. Now, let me explain this. You need to notice that this section of the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 17, is really about the Lord's Supper, but there's something odd about this introduction to this explanation of the Lord's Supper. He doesn't begin the Lord's Supper talking about the Lord's Supper. Paul in 1 Corinthians, he begins his explanation of the Lord's Supper by addressing division and conflict within the church body, which is interesting to me. Because he says in verse 17, as he starts heading into this Lord's Supper conversation, he says, "But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together." I mean, think about that. Paul just told him, you know what, church? You know, it's crossed my mind that it might be better for you not even to meet. Because when y'all get together, it just gets ugly. There's just a lot of harm, and it's because of all the conflict and division. So verse 17 again. "But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear there are divisions among you," which that is true when you study 1 Corinthians. "First, I hear there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent, I believe it." Now, the odd thing about this is that there are people are not perfect. And even if you are a Christian and a follower of Jesus, Jesus followers, Christians, they do butt heads, you know, from time to time, and they disagree over all kinds of stuff. And some stuff, it's about theology, it's about beliefs, and sometimes it's about methods of church, and sometimes it's just a personality conflict. I mean, you know, because Christians, we're real people. I mean, you get it. And you've had conflict with folks. But I think what's happening here, I think one of the reasons why Paul is addressing this issue as he moves into the Lord's Supper is he's wanting them to realize that when you take the Lord's Supper, if you're doing it right, your heart and mind should be moved to make things right with people who either you have hurt or offended, or to forgive those who have hurt or offended you. I think that's what's happening here. And as he begins to unpack the impact of the Lord's Supper, I think that becomes more and more evident. So one of the things that you need to think about as we observe the Lord's Supper is there somebody I need to reach out to and say, "I'm sorry, I apologize, I was wrong, shouldn't have said that, shouldn't have done that, you know, it was a sin," or whatever, you know, think through that. Now, on the other hand, is there somebody out there that you need to just forgive? You know, you don't need to call them up and say, "Hey, I just want to let you know you offended me the other day, but I'm going to let it go." No, just let it go. Just forgive them, you know, and let them do the reaching out to you. All right, number two, when you take the Lord's Supper, you are to look back and remember. In chapter 11, God gives us some instructions about the Lord's Supper. Two times in verse 24 and 25, we're told, "Do this to remember me." This is Jesus talking. "Do this to remember me." Now, the Lord's Supper is about remembering our Lord Jesus and his death. Now, to remember means much more than just simply bringing something to mind, merely to recall that it happened. I mean, you know, yeah, I remember things. Yeah, I remember getting up this morning. I remember it snowing yesterday. You know, I remember, you know, taking a trip, you know, to Huntsville, you know, last year, Huntsville, Alabama, you know, for my son's wedding. And I can just remember it just kind of like a remembering list, you know. The word remember is more than just, yeah, I remember when I did that. The word remember there means to focus, to concentrate, to try to live or relive that moment as much as possible. All right, so let's try to let me remember something as much as possible. 26 plus years ago, I remember standing in an atrium at Emmanuel Baptist Church in El Dorado, Arkansas. I'm standing there. A guy named Roger Brubeck was standing there. Gordy Givens was standing there. Spencer Ray was over here. Pam's cousins were over there. And I'm looking at this blonde-headed bombshell coming down these steps. And I am boo-hooing. And I'm thinking, I'm about to get married up in this place. And I remember looking at her, and I'm thinking, I said, oh, you know, I've thought about this for years. You know, I just never knew who it would be, you know. And I'm about to say I do and commit the rest of my life to this woman right here. And she's about to do the same thing. And when I pause and I think and I remember that moment, I'm thinking about the covenant I made with her. I'm thinking about the people that were there and how I felt and what she meant to me then and what she means to me now and how we've grown together since then. And it, do you understand the difference between just remembering I got married and remembering it? When you're taking the Lord's Supper, it's one thing just to think about Jesus dying on the cross. It's another thing to think about it, the impact, how it changed you, what it means to you. So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, or do this to remember me, that's what he's talking about, okay? I also remember, a couple years, and I am in a car. I'm driving through Baltimore, Missouri, and going from our house, and Pam was with me, and we're walking up to a hospital. And it was like it was yesterday. I remember going to the hospital, and they've already put Pam in a wheelchair. And I'm walking to the window, and I'm going, hey, my wife's having a baby. What do we do? And so they took over, took us to the room. We're doing this, you know, we go through that whole process. And when I remember that, when I'm thinking through that whole process and just how amazed at this miracle thing called a birth, here's another human coming out of another human. I mean, that's just weird to say that. And I'm just overwhelmed by that. But one of the things I was overwhelmed the most by, and as I remember this, they take our firstborn out, that's Zeke, clean him up, slap him around a little bit, he cries. You know, Pam holds him for a while, and then I hold him for the first time. And I remember my very first thought. I'm holding this little kid, and I'm thinking, dude, I got to grow up. I mean, this is real. And I'm thinking, I'm saying, Lord, help me. Help me to raise this kid. Because I don't have a clue to what I'm doing. And I'm flooded with memories, and I'm flooded as I remember this, as I'm remembering this standing in front of you, letting you come into my little world. I'm giving you an illustration as best I can of what it means to do this and remember me in when Jesus is saying that. And so what he's asking us to do this morning is when you're holding the cup and you're holding the bread, you're remembering and you're thinking through the time when you gave your life to Jesus, when you realize what that means and what it means to you now and what he means to you and how much you love him and the impact that Jesus had in your life. Are you hearing what the word is saying today? That's what the Lord's Supper is about. So, you know, you when you take the Lord's Supper, you look back and you remember. Now, number three. We are to look without and reach. Now, the Lord's Supper also reminds us to reach out and proclaim Christ to those around us. Now, look at verse 26. The Bible says, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death. Now, here's the deal. The message of the cross and the Lord's death is not only for us to remember, but it's for us to proclaim and preach and teach and share and testify and talk about. And so the Lord's Supper is really an act of proclamation. When you are taking the Lord's Supper, it not only is a time for you to, you know, think about, look back and remember and let that thinking impact you, but it's also time to think about how what you're thinking about can impact others. How this Jesus dying on the cross, how he saved you, he can also save others. And so, you know, as we take the Lord's Supper, what you're saying is, when you take the Lord's Supper, you're saying, you know what, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and for everybody else's sins, and so I need to get this message out. So there is a sense of when you're taking the Lord's Supper, you're also being called to take the message out. Number four, you are to look ahead and rejoice. The Lord's Supper brings our attention to the fact that someday Christ will return to gather his people together. And look at verse 26. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's Supper, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Until he comes again. So we proclaim the cross of Calvary every time we take the Lord's Supper, but it's also in the shadow of Christ coming back. And so when you're taking the Lord's Supper, there's also this element of thinking, wow, you know, I'm going to do this till he comes back, and someday he's coming back, you know, and I'm not going to have to do this anymore. Until he returns, and there is going to come a day. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it describes the day when he comes back like this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. So when the Lord does return, it's going to be a major worldwide event. It's going to be cool. Number five, we are to look within and repent. God wants us to use the Lord's Supper as a time of examination. Look at verse 28. The Bible says you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. You should examine yourself. Now, as you hold the cup and as you hold the bread or even before you come and get it, you need to take some time and say, Lord, I've got some issues in my life. I mean, he already knows about it. And just examine yourself and say, Lord, where am I at on this sin? Have I just given up and I'm just kind of accepted this thing in my life? And Lord, can you give me a passion to want to just give this thing up to you? You know, and just examine yourself. Examine your theology. Examine your commitment to God's people. Examine your commitment to him. I mean, just say, God, where is it in my life that I need to focus, examine? And so as you take the Lord's Supper, it takes a moment. And here's the deal. Some people have this weird idea that you have to be perfect to take the Lord's Supper. Oh, my goodness, no. I mean, if we all had to be perfect to take the Lord's Supper, you know, we wouldn't even do it. You know, because there isn't nobody perfect. The only time we are perfect, if you want to say that, and that's under the blood of Christ. But even under the blood of Christ, we're forgiven. We are able to stand before God as if we've never sinned because we're justified. We are forgiven of our sins. But you and I still know that we still disobey God. We still do things that are selfish. We still do things that are rude. And we still do things that are sinful. And we have to go back to God. I've blown it. Forgive me, you know. But that's part of what the Lord's Supper should do. It should call you back into the presence of God and say, Lord, I know that you have a throne of grace, and I'm coming to that throne of grace, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And I need help to get back up and overcome this thing in my life. So examine yourself. Look within and repent. Number six. And as we go into number six, I'm going to ask Kevin if he would to go ahead and come on up. And we're about to move into the Lord's Supper. And Kevin is going to be playing for us during the Lord's Supper. And so I'm going to ask him to go ahead and come on up and get ready. Number six, you are to look up and renew. Now, the Lord's Supper is a reminder to us that we are in a covenant with the Lord. Take a close look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said this, and again, this is a whole passage, this section here in chapter 11 is all about the Lord's Supper, and he says this, verse 25, this cup is the new covenant Circle that word covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. Now, there is a lot going on in that one little verse, but I do want to highlight something for you, and that's that word covenant. Now, this covenant has two sides. This covenant has the God side. The God side says, God says, as my children, I'm going to do certain things for you. I promise to do this for you, and I promise to do that. And if you do this, I'll do that. And there are some things God promises that has nothing to do with your behavior. He's just going to do it because he's a loving God, and he just promises that he will do certain things in our life. And there are certain other things that are dependent upon if we're obedient, then we experience certain blessings. And so, but that's part of his side of his covenant. And regarding salvation, he says that once you become one of your children, he's saying, look, I am going to save you. You're part of my family. I'm going to get you to heaven, you know, and he promises that. Now, in this covenant, that's the God side, but there's also our side. We come up before God and we say, okay, Lord, I am entering in this covenant with you. And I am saying, I will do certain things. I will be obedient to you. I will read, you know, get into your word, and I'll see what you have to say, and I'll apply it to my life. And I'm going to surrender. I'm going to submit myself to you. You are my master, my savior. You understand what I'm saying here? So when we're talking about this covenant, we're being remembered that God has promised some things towards us. But in this, when we take the Lord's Supper, we're being reminded we also promised God some things. So God, I promise to follow you, to learn and to grow. And so sometimes, you know, as humans and just followers of Jesus, we fall and we're not interested in God as much, you know, and I'm sure it breaks his heart, because can you imagine your spouse, you know, every now and then just losing total interest in you, you know, not really wanting to be around you, not wanting to talk to you, you know, and, you know, we do that. And sometimes couples will renew their vows. You know, and sometimes those couples are renewing their vows because they've had gone through a hard time and they're trying to hit a restart button in their marriage. Okay, it's not all the time, they don't do that all the time, but some couples who are doing that. Well, in some way, the Lord's Supper is hitting a restart button. It's not that you're getting saved again, that's because Lord's Supper has nothing to do with getting saved, but it does have, it's a reflection of your salvation. And so for some of you, it may be today that you are just being reminded, the Lord's Supper is about, you know what? When I surrendered my life to him, I declared him to be my master. He's my Lord. And I'm not living like it. And I need to start living like it. I need to renew this covenant, if you will. I need to renew my vows, if you will, before the Lord. So the Lord's Supper may be that for you today. Now, here in a couple of minutes, here's how we're going to do the Lord's Supper today. The Lord's Supper is up here. There's a table over here and there's a table over there. They're identical. You can go to either one. On the table there is a cup of juice representing the blood of Jesus. There's also some bread in the center representing the body of Christ. Now, when you come up, you'll notice that one of the plates is marked gluten-free. You know, so for those who need that, that is there for you. Now, when you come up, and you can come up when you want. You don't have to come up all at the same time. You can sit there and pray for a little bit. You can read the word. Kevin is going to be playing. And it's just a time for you to pray and talk to God, think through some things, look through these notes that, you know, you heard today, and maybe one of them grabs your attention more than the others, and that's the one that you need to focus in on today regarding the Lord's Supper. And when you're ready to come up, just come on up. And you can take the Lord's Supper up here. You can take the elements here, or if you want to, you can take them back to your seat, okay? But we're going to take about 10 minutes or so, 10, 15 minutes, or until everybody's done, and Kevin's going to play, and when he starts playing, whenever you're ready, you come up, and then when it seems like everyone's done, I'll come back up, and we'll close it up, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that for what you have done for us. And Lord, I believe that you have spoken to us today and individually, and but also as a church body. And We just love you. We thank you so much for how you have poured your love and your grace upon us. And Lord, as we leave today, Lord, I pray that you would remind us just to share what you've done in our life with others this week. Lord, may we also just respond in obedience for whatever you have spoken to us about that we need to take care of. And Lord, we know that whatever you've told us to do, Lord, we know that it's for your glory and for our good. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to your purpose. And Lord, we hang on that promise, and we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, stand with me. We're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Hey, you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
Did you worship God today?
Yes.
All right, did you receive from his word today?
Yes.
Are you going to do something with it?
Yes.
All right, God bless you guys. We love you. Hope to see you next week, if not at Life Groups this week. All right, God bless you guys. You're dismissed.